This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and all his companions and to bless every single one of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us cure from our sicknesses. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on those whom he has taken away. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us the day he is going to take us away. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters, dearest listeners, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again for having granted us such a powerful evening, for having granted us such an atmosphere, for having granted us this month of Ramadan, for having granted us so many chances to turn to him. May he make us from those who can utilize these chances and make use of these opportunities. Ameen. This evening we read Surah Hud, we completed it, and we commenced Surah Yusuf. I'm sure many of you are familiar with Surah Yusuf. Let's see how far we get this evening. If not, inshallah, we will leave that for tomorrow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hud has made mention of the stories of the messengers. Every time the story of a messenger is repeated in the Quran, it is repeated for a different reason. It is repeated in order to highlight a different aspect altogether. So no matter how many times the story of Musa alayhi salam has appeared in the Quran, it is always there to highlight a different point. In this evening's verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences, which means where we started. The commencement was a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that the sustenance of every creature on earth is upon Allah. It is Allah's duty to feed everybody. And everyone will find whatever is written for them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Every single creature on earth, Allah has made provisions for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sustain it. And Allah knows where it is, where it lies, where it dwells, when it was born, when it is due to go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of absolutely every creature, not only mankind. Which means the little insects, the smallest of insects, Allah knows. Not only that, even the plants, Allah knows. Even the fish in the oceans, Allah knows. Not only that, but even the droplets of water, where they are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. These are all creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse is speaking about that which treads the earth, more so that which has life. But what we do know is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge includes absolutely everything. And the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned in quite a bit of detail in the verses we read this evening. And I'd like to highlight just a few points. One of the main points we find in this evening's verses, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the messengers, is they constantly reminded their people that, look, we don't want any wealth from you. We are not asking you for anything material. We don't want anything in exchange for what we are telling you. This is one of the points that is highlighted in what we read tonight. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, they told him just as the other messengers told or were told by their people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was told, مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا. We don't see you as anyone besides a human being like us. What is the virtue of you over us? Nothing. Why should we listen to you? What is there that you have that we don't have? وَمَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّأِي. And more than that, over and above that, those who are following you are actually the paupers from amongst us. Those who have no standing in society are the ones who are following you. So why should we, the bulk, be following a man like you, firstly, who has no standing, secondly, no difference between us and you, and thirdly, the people following you are actually not people who are influential at all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them responses in the Quran, where Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam has made mention of items that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him to tell them. That, oh my people, I have come to you with clear signs from Allah. Take a look at them. Take a look at what you are doing. What I am calling you towards is goodness. And I am asking you to abstain from your lusts and desires that are detrimental for yourself, your whims and fancies. I am asking you to come forth to something that is full of goodness, that which is strict, they didn't want. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam told them, Ya qawmi, la as'alukum alayhi mala. Oh my people, I am not asking you any wealth. I don't want money from you. I don't want anything material from you. In ajriya illa ala Allah. My reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm not going to chase away the people who are around me solely to please the rest. Whoever has adopted and followed, it is their good luck. In fact, it is their good fortune that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all from those who are steadfast. From this, the Mufassireen say that normally when a message goes out from the messengers, you find those who are wealthy and those who have a lot of clout in society, at times they are the last to accept the message. This is why the best of people are those who have been given a lot and still they are humble. The best of people are those who are wealthy, they have clout and still they are good Muslimin. And mashallah, they are also found plentiful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. So the categories of people we have those who are wealthy and they are good Muslimin. There are those who are wealthy, they are not good Muslimin. There are those who are not wealthy and they are good Muslimin. Those who are not wealthy and they are still not good Muslimin. We need to ask ourselves, where do we fit in? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance. Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam made the dua to him. Nuh alayhi salam asked him, Ya Allah, destroy these people. I have been with them for 950 years. They are not accepting the message. And over and above that, I have noticed that when they give birth to their children, I have hope that their children will accept the message. But the children are even worse than them. So Ya Allah, destroy all of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُوحِيَ إِلَىٰ نُوحٍ. We reveal to Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, أَنَّهُ لَن يُؤْمِنَ مِن قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَن قَدْ آمَنَ. Nobody else is going to accept the message besides those who have already accepted the message. Now don't have hope in anyone else. Now start preparing your ark. So after the instruction of building the ark was given, nobody accepted the message after that. And if you take a look, Allah says, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Those who followed with him and who believed with him were very, very few. One narration says they were only 11 people. In 950 years, only 11 people. And one narration, the highest, says they were 80 people. Imagine, let's take the highest of the two of the figures. 80 people in 950 years. What type of patience do you think this man has had? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us even a droplet of that. Sometimes with our own children we lose hope. With our family members we lose hope. Here is a Nabi, assisted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so many years, and he did not lose hope. Then when he built his ark, people started laughing at him. Ya Nuh, sirta najjaran ba'da an kunta nabiyya. Oh Nuh, you've now become a carpenter after you were a prophet. Nuh alayhi salam, they began to laugh at him because they told him, قَدْ جَادَلْتَنَا فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. You have debated with us and argued with us, and you have exceeded the limits in trying to convince us. Now bring what you've been promising us in terms of the punishment if you are truthful. When he started building the ark, they began to laugh. Allah says, don't worry, let them laugh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a sign. That when you see the sign, you must jump into the ark. You, all those who've believed with you, and two of all the creatures around according to the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the sign? Very interesting to know. The sign was water will start gushing from the oven. Water will start gushing from beneath. So Remember, the water that destroyed the people of Nuh did not only come from above. It was also the water that came from underneath. I hope we're aware of this. So the water started coming from underneath, and then only it started coming from above. And they were dipped literally like a tennis ball being dipped into a big bucket. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. So as the water began to come, Nuh alayhi salam went into his ark. They were laughing at him. They told him, you're a madman, because everybody builds ships near the ocean or the seas. You chose the center of the land to build an ark. Are you crazy? How are you going to take it? It's so huge. How are you going to take it there? But when the water began to come, Nuh alayhi salam was promised by Allah that we will save you, those who believe with you and your family members. So naturally he was happy, but one of his sons had separated himself from the father. So when the son separated himself, Nuh alayhi salam was jumping into the ark. The ark was covered from the top and the bottom, closed completely like a submarine. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nuh alayhi salam looked at his son and says, Oh my son, وَنَادَى نُوحٌ إِبْنَهُ وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ Nuh alayhi salam called out to his son who was separated, يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَمْ مَعَنَا وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ Oh my dear son, come and ride with us and don't be with the disbelievers. The son thought he was too intelligent. He says, سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلْ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ I'm going to climb the mountain, oh my father, don't worry. I'm a good mountain climber. I will climb the mountain. It will save me from the water. The father answers, لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمْ Oh my son, let me tell you, today nothing will save you besides the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody's going to be saved. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَا الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ As the discussion pursued, a wave came between them and swallowed the son, and he was from amongst those who drowned. Now naturally, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam felt it, that I was told by Allah that my son and my family members will be saved. Not the son in particular, but my family members. So Nuh alayhi salam, after the people were destroyed and the ark had landed and so on, upon the Mount of Judi, as mentioned in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then Nuh alayhi salam called out to us, وَنَادَى نُوحٌ رَبَّهُ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّ بْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي وَإِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقُّ Oh Allah, your promise to me is the truth, Ya Allah. You told me, my son is a member of my family, Ya Allah. You promised me that you would save my family members, Ya Allah. And Allah says, Ya Nuhu, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ He is not from your family, O Nuh. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ He has deeds that are unacceptable. He has deeds that are impure, O Nuh. What do we learn from this? This shows us that the bond of Iman is far thicker than that of blood. Let's understand this. The bond of Iman is far thicker than that of blood. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the feeling of that. It is reported that the only time you will feel the bond of Iman is when your level of Iman is solid and powerful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself that in yourselves. Millions of Muslims are dying right now as I'm speaking to you due to natural disasters. Some of us sit back. We don't even have the common decency to make a dua for them. Ya Allah, tonight as we are reading Taraweeh, we are sitting, mashallah, so comfortably. We have so many savories. We have so much to eat. MashaAllah, there are people who are dying of cholera in the month of Ramadan. One wonders how they will be reading their Taraweeh and how they will be fasting. May Allah be at their assistance. Minimum we owe them is to feel for them, to make dua for them. That is the bond of Iman. When we don't feel for them, it shows that there is a weakness in the link. Not only in Pakistan, but all over the world. Today in Palestine, in Somalia, in Sudan, I can mention so many countries, subhanAllah, in Afghanistan, in Iraq. There are people who are suffering, wallahi. Suffering for what? The bulk of them are suffering because of one reason. Because they said, La ilaha illallah. Because they uttered the shahada. So the day it comes to us, We don't want others to also sit back and relax. No dua, no remembrance of us, nothing. Believe me, if we think that we are not going to be tested, we are fooled, wallahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will test every one of you. وَإِمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ إِلَّا نَحْنُ مُهْلِكُوهَا قَبْلَ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Allah says, every single town will be destroyed before Qiyamah as a test for them. So those towns are being destroyed now. Our turn will come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. The day it's going to come. Let's not sit back and say it won't come. He has promised it in the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors for all of us. May He grant us understanding. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks then about how Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam sought the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he was told by Allah about this bond and that the bond of Iman is far more powerful. Thereafter there is the story of Ad. Ad are the people who were huge people who used to carve mountains in order to live in. They were sent a messenger known as Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. The same thing, he told them, Ya qawmi la as'alukum alayhi ajra. Oh my people, I don't want a recompensation from you. I don't want any wealth, anything material from you for what I am saying. In ajriya illa ala alladhi fatarani. My reward is with the one who made me, my creator. Al-fatiru al-khaliqu. The one who created me. The one who made me, he is going to reward me. He has instructed me to come to you to deliver the message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So Allah says, then when the punishment came after some time, when they belied the messenger, the punishment came, Allah says, we saved those who were instructing people to do good. Who were they? The messenger, and together with the messenger, those who believed with him. Remember a few nights ago we made mention that when the punishment comes, it does not only attack or tackle those who are guilty. Sometimes the innocent are also taken in the punishment. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً Allah says, be careful of a punishment that will not only tackle the oppressor, but even those who did not disassociate from that oppressor. When someone is doing bad and evil, we need to make it loud and clear that we are not party to that evil. And we don't agree with it. And we are against it. That is when we will be saved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. But those who don't want, and they're just silent, and they have absolutely no feeling in their hearts, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make myself and yourselves from amongst those, because they would be deserving of the punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we saved Ad and his and those who believed with him from the severe punishment, and we took the rest, we destroyed them. Same applies. The next story is that of Thamud. Thamud are the people whom Salih alayhi salam was sent to. And they mentioned a very interesting statement to Salih. Salih alayhi salam was a very, very intelligent young man. Very intelligent. They wanted to make him a chief. And they wanted to make him one of their leaders. And they had great hope in him. And then one day he came and he started telling them, worship Allah alone. Stop all this nonsense that you are doing. Stop all the misbehavior, misconduct. Stop associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They looked at him and they said, O Salih, قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا We had great expectations in you before you came about with all this. We thought you would be somebody big in our society here. Now you're coming with this. May Allah safeguard us. But what do we learn from this? We learn a lot, but I can only mention one or two points that come to mind. Sometimes in our families, we have a child who is very intelligent. We want him to be a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant. When he chooses the path of deen, we say, no man, I had a lot of hope in you. Why are you turning in this direction? Subhanallah. Sometimes we have children who are extremely intelligent. Suddenly they start wearing a scarf. I'm talking about the females. And they want to put on a niqab. And we say, hey, wait, relax. We had hope in you. Come on, you still need to go to varsity. If that is the case, what's the difference between us and those who tackled Salih, alayhi salatu wasalam? You have a young man, suddenly he begins to grow his beard. And you say, hey, look, people will start calling you names. Why are you doing this? Come on. We had great hope in you, big expectations. No, gone are the days when those who are sent to the madrasa are those who cannot move or get grades in school. Those days are gone. Nowadays, we want to send those to the madrasa who are the most intelligent of our children so that they can serve the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Allah says in the verses in the same surah, Allah says, don't worry about sustenance. We will grant them, we know. And for your information, the wealthiest from amongst us in most cases have not gone beyond matric. I'm not sure about this community, but I know about mine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So it's not got to do with what qualifications you have always. It's got to do with what Allah has written and meaning prescribed upon you or predestined for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of how after some time He destroyed even the people of Saleh. Thamud were destroyed. And Allah says they were destroyed in such a way that you can actually see now their remains. The remnants, if you go to Madayan Saleh, which is in Saudi Arabia, you will see huge homes. Where were the people? They were bigger than me and you. They're gone. The message came to them. Allah gave them a time. The time span to turn. When the time lapsed, Allah destroyed them. With us, Allah sends us messages and messengers. And He gives us time. And within that time, it is up to us what we do. Obviously, we make dua to Allah for guidance and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us on the path. If we do not come onto the path by the time the expiry moment comes, we will also be destroyed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us. May He grant us a turning point. Then there is a very interesting story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and I want to spend a few moments on it. The angels were sent to destroy the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Who are the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? Lut alayhi salam's nation who disagreed with his message. When the angels were sent, they came via another Nabi who lived at the same time. Who was he? He was Abraham. Ibrahim alayhi salam lived not very far from where Lut alayhi salam lived, and they were relatives. So when the angels came, they came in the form of three men. Handsome men, no sign of any tiredness, but they were not recognized by Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is the sign of the angels. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was so hospitable. He told him, sit down. They greeted him with salam. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ بِالْبُشْرَى قَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامًا. When our angels came down to Ibrahim alayhi salam, he didn't recognize they were angels. They greeted him with peace. He told them peace. And as they sat for a moment, he went back and he brought them some food to eat. What type of food? MashaAllah. We are hospitable today, but we've got much more variety. At that time, they didn't have that much variety. But listen what he brought. فَمَا لَبِثَ أَن جَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ حَنِينٍ. A few moments, and he came with a calf that was already roasted, ready to eat. A calf. Imagine, he went back, he slaughtered the calf, he must have skinned it and cleaned it, and it was all on the fire and ready to eat, and he came with a calf. For how many people? Three. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What hospitality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us hospitable people and those inshallah who are not extravagant or wasteful. So he noticed these people are not eating. Their arms are not being stretched towards the food. So he got worried. And they said, don't worry. We are angels. We are not going to eat. Now he was a bit calm. Oh, you are angels. You are not going to eat. So what's the message? What have you come with? And his wife began to laugh. In fact, she had a little bit of a laugh. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. She was given good news. You are going to bear a child. Subhanallah. So that was good news. And we have been sent to destroy a nation very near those people of Lut. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was concerned. I told you the bond of Iman stronger than the bond of anything else. He says, how can you destroy that city or those cities when there is a man, a pious man known as Lut there? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the angels responded, we know better than you who is there, O Ibrahim. We know better than you who is there. We will save him and his family members and those who accepted the message with him. Don't worry. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention very beautifully of how these angels then went to Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. They arrived in the area and they were noticed by the young lads and the men. And you know they were all homosexuals. May Allah protect us all and our offspring. Something absolutely unacceptable against the nature of animals. Forget about nature of man. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when those men noticed, they had bad intention because they seen some handsome men. May Allah protect us. So what happened is, they seen these people are going to Lut alayhi salam's place, and they arrived at the door, literally wanting to break the door. Oh Lut, we intend something. We've seen certain guests you have. Lut alayhi salatu wa salam says, La tukhzuni fi dayfi. Is there not a single upright man from amongst you? You want to disgrace me with my visitors that are here? These are guests. If you'd like, I have daughters. There are women here. There are daughters from amongst us. Why don't you marry them properly? Nay, O Lut, you know what we want. This is what they said. You know what we want. And at that moment, they began to try and break the door. They started breaking the door to get in. Lut alayhi salam was worried. The whole nation is coming to break the door. This is when the angel says, Ya Lutu, inna rusulu rabbika lan yasilu ilayk. O Lut, don't worry. We are angels. They will not be able to reach you. Not at all. Don't worry, we are angels. We have come with severe punishment. So, in a portion of the night, you need to leave this whole community and you need to disappear. You need to go. Don't look back. Just go. When Lut alayhi salatu wasalam went and he left, it is reported that his wife was from amongst those who encouraged and promoted that type of activity. So she was from amongst the destroyed. What happened to them? Allah says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا. When our command of destruction came, جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا. We simply turned them upside down. That's what Allah did. It is reported Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam took a wing of his, put it underneath that whole area, lifted it right up and turned it the other way around and it dropped. Subhanallah. The people were completely destroyed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never do that to us. Remember the destruction when Allah wants it to come. Wallahi, you will not dream of the different armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wants, the ground can open up now and swallow all of us. May Allah save us. If Allah wants, the ocean that we have not very far from here can come and swallow every single one of us. May Allah protect us all. If Allah wants, the wind can destroy us. If Allah wants, the rain can come and cause floods and chaos. It has happened to others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard every single one of us. So after mentioning the destruction of the people of Lut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the people of Shu'aib. The people of Shu'aib, what happened? They were people who were not upright businessmen. Very interestingly, they used to cheat in business. They used to shortchange people. And Shu'aib came, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he told them, stop shortchanging the people. They said, oh Shu'aib, this is our wealth. We can do whatever we want with it. Why? Who are you to come and tell us what to do and what not to do? And he says, look, I'm informing you what Allah has instructed me to inform you. You need to be fair in business. You need to be dealing in an upright manner, far from destruction and far from that which is detrimental and incorrect. But nay, they continued to shortchange people. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention that they told Shu'aib, that Shu'aib, you better keep quiet. We would have stoned you to death a long time ago if it wasn't for your small group, your family and a few others who are there with you. So Shu'aib alayhi salam responded and he says, hey my people, you are more worried about my group than Allah. You said you would have stoned me if it was not for my people. But what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah says, then when the punishment overtook them, they were completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. Why? Because their business ethics were upside down. This shows us that whenever we deal, we need to be very fair. Whenever we do our business, we must be upright. Because the wealth that we earn really will either make us or break us depending on how we've earned it. And it's important for us to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to cleanse our wealth. And it is also important for us to know that a winner is not he who gains a lot of wealth, but a winner is he who earns whatever he has earned in a halal manner. A winner is he who has blessing in his wealth and not necessarily volume. Today, mashallah, tabarakallah, if Allah has given us that volume, why not? We ask Allah to grant it to us in a halal manner. But if He has not given it to us, we still need to be thankful, because in Islam we are taught that the one who is rich is the one who is content. The one who is rich is the one who is content. And the pauper is the one, no matter how much he has no contentment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all contentment. Towards the end of Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the story of Fir'aun. And I'm not going to go into much of the detail, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I want to mention this warning because this is what he said made him gray. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have many gray hairs. It is reported that right at the end, they counted 19 gray hairs. Right at the end, they counted 19 gray hairs. It means he didn't really have gray hairs. But when the first few gray hairs came about, some of the companions asked him. He said, "Shayyabatni Hudun." He says, the surah Hud has made me gray. What is the surah? The surah, the verse in the surah, Allah says, "Fastaqim kama umirta." O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be upright like you have been instructed. Is there anyone more upright than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he is being told to be upright. He says, I got so worried. This verse has occupied me. It made me gray. From this we learn that you can gray out of worry. From this we learn that you can gray out of worry. This is why you find people when they don't have a position of authority, which is very, very challenging, you find that they have hairs, you know, black hairs, dark hairs. The moment they get into a position of authority, within a short space of time, mashallah, they've grayed. You see them 6 months later, and you say, but you've become old. It's not the age, it's the concern, the worry. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Imagine, if that is what made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gray, how many of us are worried about our own istiqamah, our own steadfastness. Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be steadfast. And he is the most steadfast with us. We need to be steadfast. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. And at the end, Allah makes mention of why. Very important verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of why he repeats the stories of the messengers. Listen to what he says. وَكُلَّن نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Every time we relate to you the stories of the previous messengers, it is in order to comfort you, in order to solidify and strengthen you and your heart, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By knowing that you are a messenger, you are facing the challenges. There were messengers before you who also faced challenges. And anyone to follow you who is going to deliver your message from amongst the ulama or anyone in our midst, we will face similar challenges. Anyone who wants to do the work of deen will face similar challenges. And this is why the stories are repeated again and again. You find different people react differently to the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us promote the truth and make us encourage one another to do that which is correct. And whenever the message comes to us, may He make us from amongst those who surrender until we meet again. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdih. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك